It's John Finette. I mean that when I say thank you.
Robin. Music playing of instruments, scriptural, it's command. It's a blessing, a great blessing. God's blessed us with two pianists, a song leader, and I'm thankful. Two song leaders, Ron does, Stephen's done. Thank you, everybody, for everything you do. Exodus chapter 4. Brother Mac was such a faithful treasurer so many years. Dan Ogle was, others, Henry. This is a sequel to Sunday's message, chapter 3. I didn't plan this. I didn't plan chapter 3, but started reading. I was greatly blessed and kept reading, and chapter 4 was just wonderful. But you remember Sunday's message, the Lord sees, the Lord hears, and the Lord knows. And this one is the people hear, the people see, and they believe and they worship. Read verses 29 through 31 again. Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses and to everybody, and did the signs in the sight of the people. So after hearing and seeing, the people believed. And when they heard, the Lord said, I'm visited you. I'm coming to bring you out. And they heard that the Lord had visited. They'd looked upon their affliction. They bowed their heads and worshiped. Thank you, Lord. We're leaving real soon. He's visited us, hasn't he? Okay, I hope to conclude with that, but there's so much that leads up to that. Verse 1, here's the man that God sent, Moses. It's a picture of every preacher of the gospel first. Not foremost, but I'm going to show you first. Moses, verse 1, was chosen by the Lord, and he said, behold, they will not believe me or hearken unto my voice. They'll say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. It was a shepherd's staff and rod, a rod and staff. Now this is how you know a man has been chosen by God and sent by God to speak to God's people, Israel. He will give him the rod of God, it's called, the word of the Lord, which is Christ. The Lord chose Moses to speak to God's people, to show them signs and wonders in Egypt. And we look and see signs and wonders in God's book, no. And this, the gospel, is what delivers us out. It's our deliverance, isn't it? As we see Christ lead us into the promised land. But now, this is really not about Moses. Moses didn't really bring them out and bring them in. Christ did. The angel of the Lord. And Moses said that himself. He said, the angel of the Lord, whom the Lord shall send, you'll follow him. He's going to bring you out. Like the cloudy pillar and the fire, the Lord went before them and I'm behind them and led them out. That was Christ is who that was. Moses represents Christ. Well, how will they know that you sent me, Moses said, and two ways. The word, the rod, and signs. Signs and wonders, two ways. Well, here's what our Lord said in John 14. Let me just read this to you. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, he said, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He gave me those words like he gave Moses. And Christ is the word. And then he said, believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. So believe my words and believe my works. And when Peter stood up at Pentecost to preach Christ, he preached Christ, didn't he? That's who he preached. He preached the gospel. The gospel is Christ. Deliverance is in the deliverer. Salvation is the Savior, isn't it? Redemption is in the Redeemer. And Peter stood up to preach Christ, and he said, "Ye children of Israel, ye men of Israel, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God by you, by signs and miracles and wonders." We know he's sent from God by the word and by his wondrous works. That's how we know. The word of God, the work of God. And these is, and it's one thing. It's Christ crucified. All right. He gave him three things, two other things along with the rod. And these three point to one. All right. Maybe you've already seen this. I don't know. We looked at it years ago. Now, these three things are pictures. We saw the rod. Okay. The rod. Look at verse three. He said, "Take that rod and cast it on the ground." And he cast it on the ground. It became a serpent. And Moses fled from before. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Put forth thine hand, take it by the tail." And he put forth his hand and caught it. It became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto them. This rod in thine hand. This rod in Moses' hand. He cast it down to the ground and it became a serpent. Now, first of all, as I said, this represents a preacher sent by God. This is how you know him. He has the word of God in his hand. He has the word of God. This is what the preacher uses. This is his message and his method. Preach the word. Preach the word. And that word the Lord sent down to earth, didn't he? From God to heaven, to the earth. Down here. Moses had the Ten Commandments. Remember when he took the law of God? You remember what he did? He came down from the mountain. What did he do? Cast it on the ground. Showing the people, you've all broken it. Now this law, like that serpent, was cast on the ground. That became a serpent. The serpent was cursed. This law became a curse. Didn't it? We preach the law, don't we? But not for salvation. But it's a curse. Okay? How is the curse going to be removed? We'll see that in a minute. But this is how you know the preacher of God. Like Moses, okay? The serpent's a deadly thing, isn't it? The letter killeth. Killeth. Will make you live. Killeth. Moses fled. Moses ran from it, didn't he? Why? He feared. He was at the burning bush and he's afraid. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Preachers need to tremble at God's word too. I'm greatly convicted by the word I preach to you. Don't feel worthy to preach it. It convicts me. I'm guilty. And that's how you know. A preacher of the gospel. It says in Isaiah 8, verse 20, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to my word, there's no light out. No light. No gospel. No truth. They don't know Christ. A true preacher of the gospel preaches Christ every time. And we'll see this in a minute. And if a man doesn't fear God and tremble when he preaches this very word, he doesn't know God either. I hear men who are orthodox in their doctrine and their preaching, and they preach with a lightness and a flippancy and a familiarity that just tells me there's something bad wrong here. Something missing. What is it? Fear. Fear. Look at the next thing. Verse 6 and 7. The Lord said, "Furthermore, put now thine hand into thy bosom." And he put his hand into his bosom. When he took it out, his hand was leprous as snow. Then the Lord said, "Put thine hand into thy bosom again." He put it in his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. Behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And the Lord said, "It shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, the rod, they will believe the voice of the latter sign." You know who you're hearing this gospel from, the word of God from tonight? A leper. Another sinner, just like you. Moses was the son of Jacob, brother. He was no special super man. He was lost to his 40 years old. And when he looked within, you know what Moses came out with? When he put his hand in, like John Newton's poem said, when I look within, all is vain and dark and wild. Can I consider myself his child? I think this is why Moses was so, didn't want to go. He said, Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. The Lord said, all right. He said, put your hand back in there. Put your hand back in there and pull it out. No, you're clean. Remember Leviticus 13? This gospel's for sinners. Your preacher's a sinner. I remember somebody one time, I don't know if I was the one or who it was. It may have been me, somebody else. He was talking about how sinful, the preacher was talking about how sinful he felt. And this person said later, first time I've ever heard a preacher say he was a sinner. There ain't no other kind. God didn't send angels to preach this gospel. They can't relate. Only sinners. But they're holy. How can you be a sinner and be holy at the same time? Well, in Christ. In Christ, in the bosom of the Father. In Christ. That's how. In his hand to use for his people. And here's another sign, verse 8, 9. He said, come to pass, they won't believe the first sign, they will believe the voice of the latter sign. It come to pass, they believe not these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that take of the water of the river, pour it on the dry land, the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood. This is how they'll know I've sent you. You dip water out of this vast river and it comes out blood every time. On the dry, parched ground. How's a preacher known? Christ, Paul said, we preach Christ and him crucified. Didn't it? That's how you know. Christ is the word. Christ is the water of life. Isn't it? The river. There's a river flowing from the throne of God. What's that? The mercy, the grace, the salvation of God. Where does it run from? From Christ, through God. From God, through Christ. It's all through Christ. And the whole word, the whole book, this river of water, the water of God's word, runs red with blood. The blood of Christ. You know, a lady was talking to us recently and talking about the gospel's come between her and her husband. And her husband claims to be a believer, claims to be a Christian. And she, I believe, knows and loves Christ and loves, wants to hear nothing but. And he doesn't. And he actually said to her, all you all try to do is find Christ in Scripture. That's what he said. His own mouth condemned him to it. Well, Christ is all. He is all. What does God mean when he says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead body? What's that mean? It means what it says. What's it mean when God said, in him dwelleth all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? It means there's no other treasure, there's no wisdom, there's no knowledge except in Christ. What's that mean? It means what it says. You know how God, one way that God loves you and that God has chosen you, and you're one of the elect of God and God has redeemed you and brought, he shows you Christ. He's hidden from the wise and prudent. And revealed unto babe, he said to the Pharisee, Christ himself said to the Pharisee, you search the scripture, you read the scripture, you memorize the scripture, and in them you think you have life. In that scriptures you think, well, this is how I'm supposed to live. He said, they testify of me, and you will not come unto me. He said, but all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and they all be taught of God. And what are they taught? Christ is all. This book runs red.
Amen.
From the garden to the throne, everybody in glory sees a lamb as it had been slain. Adam and Eve, the first sinner, saw a lamb, and the last sinner that enters glory, the first thing he's going to see is a lamb. This book runs red. I'm going to do it one of these days. I told you I'm going to drill a hole all the way through my Bible on the margin and put a red ribbon in it so that I'll be reminded on every page to see Christ and Him crucified. That's how you know the true preacher of God. Now, Christ has all the preeminence. This is Christ. All these three of these things are Christ Himself. He is the rod of God in the hand of God. He's Moses. He's the rod. He's blood. Look at Isaiah 11. He is the rod. All of this represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 11. Look at this. This is just wonderful. It says in verse 1, there shall come a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ear, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reign. The wolf shall, on and on it goes. That's Christ, isn't it? Psalm 2 says he'll smite with a rod of iron. Now, he is that rod in God's hand. He was cast to the ground, wasn't he? Our Lord was cast to the ground, came down from this earth, sent by God. What condescension. He came to this earth, became a serpent. Christ became a serpent. What are you talking about? He said, Numbers 21, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Christ was made sin for us. Christ was made a curse for us. He became sin for us. Right then, he crushed the serpent's head. Christ, the rod of God. Christ, the deliverer, like Moses. Christ, that prophet, like unto Moses. And then God says, take that serpent by the tail. Grab hold of that serpent, take it by the tail. Maybe a rod in your hand. In Revelation, it says that very thing, that the angel from heaven came down and laid hold of the serpent and cast him into the earth. And Satan can do nothing but what Jesus Christ allows him to do. He's doing his will. He's in his hand. This is Christ. Leprous hand. What about the leprous hand? Well, Moses' hand was well when he came. Put it in the bosom, became a leper. Came out, was a leper. Put it back in the bosom, came out clean. That's Christ. When he came here holy, perfect, didn't he? Perfect. Right then he was made sin for us. A leper, wasn't he? Went into the heart of the earth like the bosom. But he went in with sin. You know how it came out? Without sin. Our sins have come. All right, then the water to blood. The water to blood. The first miracle of our Lord. You know what it was? The very first miracle. That's right. He turned the water to wine. Red. That was his first miracle. It's also his last. The soldier took a spear and pierced his side, and out came water and blood. Wine, that's the wine that makes glad the heart of man, and the blood of Christ. Water for sanctification, blood for justification. It all came from him. That was his first miracle, and that was his last. Water to blood. So there you have it. Now here's the voice of God, sent by God, sent by Christ. Verses 10 through, back to the text, verses 10 through 16. Moses, here's how you know a true preacher. He was reluctant to go. I can't speak. Don't send me. Jeremiah said, I'm just a boy. Jeremiah was 24, maybe. Jeremiah said, I can't speak. I'm a child. He said, go. Isaiah, I'm a man of unclean lips. Go. Moses, not me, somebody else. Why? They all know they're insufficient. Paul said, who is sufficient for these things? That's how you know preaching. Now, no type is perfect. Our Lord was not reluctant. However, did he not grow in wisdom and favor? That's astounding. He who is wisdom grew in wisdom. I don't doubt that he had the wisdom of a 40-year-old man or more when he was 4 years old. I don't doubt that. Yet, he grew. And the Lord didn't have, God didn't have him speak till he was 30 years old. It's amazing that. What was he doing all that time? Keeping his sheep. Living a life that was pleasing to God. That's what he did. Glorifying God with his body, with his life, with his lips, and his service to others. Well, but Moses was reluctant. And he said in verse 14, anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And oh, how the Lord, his anger and wrath was poured out on our Lord for our sake. But he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know he can speak well. How did God know that? Well, he just said, I make man's man. They said of Paul, he's a vain babbler. They said of Apollos, he's a eloquent man. Well, who made man's man? Who was more effective? Neither. It's not the man, it's the word. All right, but anyway, Aaron was sent. And here, all right, now here God has chosen a man to go to speak on his behalf and Moses, his deliverer's behalf. And God sends men chosen by him to speak the word of God, the word of Christ. Okay? Now look at this. And he's chosen the prophets and apostles and evangelists, pastors. Look at verse 14, the last line. It says, when he sees you, he'll be glad. He'll be so glad when he sees you. Doesn't the scripture say which things the prophets desire to look into? Our Lord himself said, Abraham saw my day and he was glad. Moses and Elijah got to go talk with our Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration. Oh, they were so glad. Lord chose them. Go! Talk about the decease he shall accomplish. Yes! They were so glad. Aren't you glad when you see Christ in the scripture? Doesn't it make your heart? Why do we need these types anymore? Why do we need them anymore? Well, the pictures and the types and the shadows before Christ came proved that he was the Christ. And when he came, it was clear to whoever God showed it, to whomever God opened it to. Like Simeon, the Lord told him. And he saw Christ. I can die now. So that's, we still look at these. Like you look at pictures of people you love. I was talking to Elizabeth. She said they're going back over pictures and laughing and crying and rejoicing and just reminiscing and all that. Don't these pictures do that to you? We still don't have, we're not there with him in person yet, are we? We're still looking at parables and pictures and all that. Someday face to face. Max looking at him face to face. He's got his arm around him. Isn't that amazing? He doesn't need his pictures anymore. We do. This is how we still know. This is how God, I show pictures of my family to you if you come over. If I love you, I want you to look here. Okay. And you better like them. And God's people do. They love these pictures. It's a good illustration Mindy gave. That before the Montgomerys started coming, she saw some pictures of them online somewhere. And they came. You remember this boy? Came into the class and Mindy said, I know you're the Montgomerys. They said, how do you know us? She said, well, I've seen your pictures. As soon as you showed up, I knew it was you by your pictures. That's how we know Christ. And we,
You know, we hear preaching, you hear people preach Christ, talk about Christ, and if it doesn't match the picture, then it crashes. No, that's not the Christ. It's got to fit the pattern perfectly, doesn't it? Every jot, every tittle. Well, they accused Moses one time of over, they accused Spurgeon. Same thing. They accused Spurgeon of over-spiritualizing the Word of God. You can't do that. Christ said, my words are spirit. The law is spiritual. Do you know what he said? Not the letter, spirit. Oh, we're so blessed, though. So the Lord sent Aaron to speak, and look at verse 16. It says, he shall be thy spokesman. Talking to Moses, Aaron shall be thy spokesman unto the people. Didn't our Lord choose not only the prophets, but the apostles? Go, speak for me. If they hear, you, they'll hear me. If they won't hear you, they won't hear from me. And look at this, verse 16. He shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and you'll be to him instead of God. Thomas knew, didn't he? Thomas knew who he was. He dropped the hit. He found out who he was. He heard his voice, saw his glory, dropped to his knees and said, my Lord and my God. That man, Christ Jesus, that sent him was God. And look at, now look at, I'm going to get to the last few verses. It's good though, isn't it? And take the rod in your hand. So Moses, went on. I got to hurry. Let's go on down through here. Let's see a picture of, let's see. What do I leave out? Go down to verse 22. Thus shalt thou say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. Look at what God says of the sons of Jacob. My son. God said, Israel. Jacob is my son. He's not ashamed to call him son. Isn't that something? He's my firstborn. That's amazing. And why? Because he's in Christ, the firstborn among many brethren. And he said, I say unto you, let my son go. That he, you tell them, let my son go, that he may serve me. If thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Christ said, if you don't believe I am he, you'll die in your sins. If you believe me, the son dies for you. If not, you're going to die. You're going to bear your own sin. Christ is our substitute. He dies in our stead. Then there's this strange story here of the Lord meeting him, and it's I don't have time to deal fully with it, but this is a picture of a holy God. Who did God seek to kill? Was it Moses, who evidently had not circumcised his sons like he's supposed to? He hadn't kept the law like he's supposed to. God said, I'm going to kill you. God's holy. He will by no means clear the guilty. You must keep the law at every jot and tittle perfectly, don't you? He didn't. He said, I'm going to kill you. So he circumcised his son. Was he out to kill his sons? Some think it was Lord's out to kill Gershom and his other son. Was it them? Either one, whatever, you must be circumcised. This is what it's telling. God is holy. Circumcision. It's not of the flesh, but it's of the heart. The heart. It's a work of God, and he must do that or he'll kill you. He's holy. He's holy. And Christ, as you know, is our circumcision. All right, now here it is, the end, the conclusion. The Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness, meet Moses. And he went and met him in the mount of God and kissed him. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. The law and the prophets kiss each other. The prophets and the apostles, they just kiss each other. Where? In Christ. Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him, all the signs he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron, both together,
The Father sent the Son, the Son sent his preachers, and they went and gathered together all the Israel, the elders of the children of Israel, all of them going to be gathered together. To do what? To hear the word of the Lord. They'll all be taught of God. They're all going to hear his voice. Christ said, my sheep are going to hear my voice. Though a man preaches it, it's his voice. And they're going to hear. And they've been gathered together to see his glory. Look at this. Spake all the words unto Aaron spake all the words which the Lord has spoken unto Moses. Verse 30, and then the signs in the sight of the people. You not only have to hear. Faith cometh by hearing, but you need to see. You need to see. John on the Isle of Patmos, he said, I heard a voice. And he said, I turned to see. What did he say? Christ. Christ. So must we. We must hear his voice. We must see his glory. The glory of God in his face, in his work. And it says, and the people believed when they heard, when they saw the signs, the wonders, the beauty, the glory of the Lord. When we see him, we believe, don't we? Faith is the gift of God. And when they heard this great, glorious, good news, this wonderful news that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, he'd looked upon their affliction. When they heard him say, I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of that land into a good land, and it's large, room for all. The land flowed with milk and honey. God said, I am come down. God didn't say, I will come down. Did he? He said, I am come down. God hath visited his people. You remember all those appearances that we talked about in the Lord? In the Old Testament? And then when he actually came to this earth? And then he comes to his people in the gospel? He does. Yes, he does. He speaks to us. He comes to us personally. Speak to us. Like he did Mary in the garden. Mary. He's coming again. When they heard all this, when they saw, and they believed, yes, and they heard this glorious good news, he's taken us out of bondage, sorrow and night. Lord Jesus, come quickly. It says they bowed their heads and worshiped. There's nothing left to do. It's worship. This is when you worship the Lord. This is true worship. Only those worship the Lord who worship him in spirit and in truth, which is what? Who? Christ. When you see him, his glory, who he is, what he did, why he came, and you find out he came for you. Well, there's nothing left to do but worship. Bow the head. Okay, stand with me. Father in heaven, we worship thy holy name. We worship the Lamb that had been slain. We worship you, we do. As much as lieth within us, as feeble and frail as we are, as imperfect as our worship is, our prayer and our praise and our singing, Lord, forgive us for not being more amazed and thankful. But we do worship you, and we thank you for making it so. Thank you for what we just heard. And be with us this Saturday and this Lord's Day, we ask. In Christ's name, amen.